Finn Russell kept playing French music. And the story behind that is that it gave so much energy to the boys in camp, and they're absolutely loving it. But the Scottish boys, we've had it for 2 years. and the song, no matter how many times you listen to it, I've absolutely no idea what they're saying. So, and he's half man, half speaker. So yeah, it was on a fair bit.
House of Rugby Ireland, here on Joe. Game changed.
So, Shawnee, it's our final Lions show. How are you feeling about it?
Probably quite happy to see the back of me.
Yeah, I am actually quite happy to see the back of you. I'm glad we've bombed back, though.
Breath
of fresh air bomb back into the place. A little bit of separation from me and Goody as well. Yeah, it's been a hectic few weeks, to be fair. But yeah, looking forward now to a bit of a break.
Well, on this week's House Rugby, we're lucky enough to have Bomb here. Give us your feelings on the series.
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? It's like when you play, you kind of get emotionally involved with the Lions, and yeah, I was quite sad at the end of the game. Seeing, you know, a few good mates who were involved in the squad and the management. So, but then being a bit of a purist, I didn't mind the scrums, I didn't mind the mauls and the kicking. You know, obviously you'd like to see a bit more. You know, I come from a club where, you know, we play a lot of rugby. So, but I thought, I think it's when they got away from us. You know, I think we were brave to go for those calls to the corner, but I think it was when we had enough to win that series.
Do you think that's the overriding feeling? Is just it's one that just got away, and it'll hurt the boys as time goes on, because it was there to be won and it was there for them, and they just came up so just a little bit short.
Yeah, I think it will. I think in 2009 when we lost, you know, that we saw that as when they got away. You know, the second test we were dominant and we had about five injuries in about 10 minutes, and it kind of left the playing fields a bit. And even now, you kind of we should have won that. And it was, you know, there was a few mistakes towards the end, but we should have won that. And we went on to win the third test, which is all well and good. But, you know, it just didn't matter in the long run. But yeah, I definitely think we had more than enough to win it. Regardless of what the second test happened, you know, in that third test, I thought we could have, if Tom Curry, you know, 9 times out of 10, he wouldn't get pulled back for that in the mall. You know, but they were on the, you know, they got an eagle eye out certainly after all the referee stuff that was going on. And yeah, I think you know, the boys would be pretty dirty about it and pretty upset, and you know, I guess, but not so much around, you know, anything off field. You know, we had more than enough to win it, and that's the kind of underlying thing for me.
Well, let's hear from Inside Lions Camp, or Holiday Camp, Isolation Camp. They're stuck in Jersey, most of them, trying to go through isolation. But we're lucky to have Stuart Hogg.
Yeah, Stuart Hogg, who you were late for again today.
I was on time, but okay.
You weren't on time.
I thought you did a great job.
Fullbacks. Position here then, probably.
Like, this has happened a numerous amount of times now.
I don't think we need to go into the admin of how many times we've had to change it because of you.
Don't be late.
I wasn't late.
This to you. It's one of my pet hates.
I wasn't late, mate. I was at home waiting for my carpenter to finish, which is perfectly understandable. Moved the times four times.
Not personal carpenter.
Yeah, Bolt Interiors, by the way, very good. Look at them on Instagram. Doing a great job for me, I must say. Really
good. He told me backstage you're involved with that company as well.
No, I'm not. I don't think you can go down that route anymore. But
cash.
Yeah,
anyway. You're paying him cash, you said.
I'm not paying him cash. These are just all rumours now. I mean, you're making all this stuff up. Jeez, you're going to get the guy chucked out of HMRC or something. Christ. All right, mate, let's hear this interview. I'm sure Bomb carries you. So here we go. Here's Bomb and Shawnee talking to Stuart Hogg.
Hoggy, how are you?
I'm good, lads. I'm good, thanks. How are you, boys?
Very good. Very good. Thanks, Pat.
Very good.
London sunshine. It's lovely.
How's things with you? You're in Jersey, I believe. Family's just arrived. Is it as chaotic as it might seem there?
Mate, I think it was easier just concentrating on rugby and being away from them. There's a lot less stress, but I'll have you know. They arrived just before lunchtime today. And it's absolutely tremendous to see them, obviously, kind of, what, 7-8 weeks we've been away. Good to see them again. And then, yeah, a couple of hours later, they're back to being their normal selves. And not ideal when you're slightly hungover, I'll let you know that for sure.
Can you go out and about and see the island, or are you stuck in the hotel?
Nah, it's like, so we get COVID tested every morning. So when we first arrived on Monday, we got COVID tests, and we couldn't leave the hotel until we got our results back. See, that was like kind of late afternoon. So Ali Price and I were one of the first to get our results back, and boys were kind of waiting a little while after that. So we thought, you know, stuff it. We'll go a little walk and see what it's like. It was so weird because Jersey is like so normal. Yeah. And we were always like sketched out because we're used to how things have been. Yeah, we were almost sketched out when people got close to us. We were like, what the hell's going on? But all the restaurants are open, shops are open, like everything. And it's refreshing to get a bit of ordinary life back. You know, after being stuck in a bubble for so long. But it is quality. As I say, we get tested every morning, and then we get to leave to go back to England next Thursday. So hectic week for us. But we're kind of using this time as a little holiday. You know, we've got the chill and the kids out. So.
Yeah,
we'll try and make the best of a bad situation, I guess.
Hoggy, what's the last 4 days been like? Have you blew off a bit of steam? I'm sure. I hope you have anyway. Certainly.
hopefully, my dad's not listening to this. But we had Hamish Watson and I had a conversation about it yesterday, and we've as you're well aware, the last kind of week of a test match when you're not involved, you're proper binges, aren't you? So. Hamish Watson and I discussed yesterday that 8 out of the last 10 days we've had a couple of quiets, you could say. So my body's felt a lot better than it does at the minute. I actually feel like I played a game last night, but it's a good part of the season, as you say. It's somebody kind of understands the kind of the stress in rugby every week, you know, and all season. So it is good to just relax and unwind and I make more memories off the field.
How was the aftermath of the game? Frustrated, annoyed, few decisions, you know, was it a bit?
Yeah, I think obviously we were all there for the same goal, the same purpose, and that was to be a part of a successful tour. And, you know, unfortunately we didn't quite go to plan in that, but, you know, fair play to Gats at the end of the game says, look, we can be down, we can be disappointed, but only let it last a couple hours because, you know, we've got to stick together and enjoy the last kind of day or two we had together before everybody leaves to go back home. So, look, we are absolutely devastated. I think, you know, when we proper get a time to reflect and unwind, and it'll probably eat away at us again. But, unfortunately, what's done is done now. It can't be changed, but we can definitely get better individually from it.
What was it like out there with restrictions, you know, with no fans? I suppose give everyone a flavour of how tough it was.
It was bleak because, you know, the first thing you want to do on a day off is, or, you know, an afternoon off, a little bit of time, you want to go out and, you know, have a coffee with the boys, play some cards and do a little bit of sightseeing or what have you. But look, we were fortunate enough that we can still do what we love doing. We still had an opportunity to play rugby and, you know, represent the Lions on a tour, which is what everybody was chasing for the last, you know, 4 years or whatever. But we were lucky in terms of the hotel we stayed in. We stayed in Arabella, which was about an hour and a half away from Cape Town, and had a golf course around the hotel. So the hotel was world class. Food was awesome. Rooms were outstanding. Just a nice place to chill out. But now we tore the arse at the golf course. I can assure you that we enjoyed it. The weather was good. We got out a fair bit. As I say, we made the best of a bad situation. And as I say, we're fortunate with the hotel that we had.
Anyone surprise you on how bad they were drinking? Or there's a couple of boys I know that who weren't in the playing staff who were terrible drinkers. your defence coach is one of them. Horrendous.
Yeah. Tads is. I give him so much shit on a daily basis. Sometimes when he does something good, like I wind him up all the time about, you know, how Marty Holler used to play in front of him at the Ospreys all the time.
Did you ever say he should have got capped by Wales?
He kind of half tells that story, but it eats away at him. So I think he gets a bit angry and stops that conversation straight away. But in terms of who's good in the piss and who let themselves down a little bit, I thought I'd be the big man on Saturday night and go all night and see how long I could go through on the Sunday. Managed to keep going on the Sunday, and then the boys started to get back out of bed on the Sunday afternoon, and we were leaving to fly home, and I'm flat out in the departure lounge sleeping. Like, I was devastated. You know, the boys going on with the party and stuff, and I'm flat out sleeping. So Yeah, I wish I had a pound for every time somebody sent me the photo of me sleeping or told me I was sleeping. But yeah, no, it was great crack.
Hoggy, there was a lot said about, I suppose, your Scotland teammate Finn and how well he done in the last test and how he kind of lit up the Lions attack. One, would you have been loved to have been out there, obviously, and two, is there any kind of frustration about, I suppose, the first two tests and not kind of playing like we did at times in the third one?
I think the difference, Finn's a world class talent and his game is to chuck it around, but he reads the game like no other. And at times, if it gets to a point and that kind of, I reckon maybe 60 minutes he'd have probably been coming on anyway, because that was kind of shit or bust time on it. So we have to get on with it. But look, that third and final test was our opportunity. I thought we played some of our best rugby in that game. We're moving the point of attack. We were taking big risks but momentum swings were massive for us. So we kept going to the corner, which I loved. On another day we'd probably score them. But look, I think he is unbelievable. But in the first two games, like, I thought Biggs has been outstanding on tour as well. Like, he's speaks so well, organises the boys. An angry bugger at times, but I think we can all sit back and have an opinion on it and look back and say, oh, we could have done this, that and the other better, but the reality is it's done. So as I say, we can all be better from this experience, but I wouldn't be surprised if I think it's almost a guarantee that one of the Northern Hemisphere teams in the autumn are going to knock over the Saffas. I think it's a team that's going to actually play a fair bit of rugby against them, because we've noticed what they're about. They're hugely physical. They've got an aerial threat. The defence shuts down massively. But at times when you chucked it wide or you took a higher risk, you're getting better outcomes.
We want to play a little game with you first before we let you go, very, very quickly. So there's a couple of questions here for you. I'll take the first few, Bob. Okay. Who is your new best mate?
New best mate, Owen Farrell.
Really? Wow.
Very intriguing.
He could be the next answer too.
He could be, yeah. The most annoying?
Finn Russell, because he kept playing French music. And the story behind that is that it gave so much energy to the boys in camp, and they're absolutely loving it. But the Scottish boys, we've had it for 2 years. and the song, no matter how many times you listen to it, I've absolutely no idea what they're saying. So, and he's half man, half speaker. So, yeah, it was on a fair bit.
This is a good one, because I remember thinking in 09 when I went, who was what you weren't expecting? So who did you think, you had preconceived ideas about, and then when you got there, he was actually a good fella,
That would probably be the reason I said Faz, because we had this conversation with him.
You thought he was a dick before?
I thought he was going to be intense, throughout the whole time. But he's one of them that, when he's on the training fields, he's intense. He knows what he wants out of it. But as soon as you finish training, he's like proper chilled out. And I didn't really get that vibe of him after seeing him, on the previous couple of tours or whatever. But I think that's why we ended up bonding so well, because he was proper chilled out. But there's a few people like that, to be fair.
I think you may have said this already. Who led the charge? When there's a chance to let the air down, who led the charge for the boys?
Josh Navidi's been quality. Chris Harris has been quality. Jamie George has been absolutely outstanding. We gave him captain of the bin juice for the last couple of weeks. And he just kept spirits high. And, it's like when it does get tough when you're not playing in the big games. But we had a fair amount of golf, especially in the last week. We had a fair amount of bevy hidden away in boys' rooms.
Good stuff.
By elegant.
Who was the best golfer, by the way, Hoggy?
Faz and I are unbeaten. We beat Jamie and Dickie. We beat Biggs and Dickie.
Who was the most vain on the tour?
Conor Murray.
Ah, yeah. 100%. I knew you were going to say Murray.
Conor Murray, mate. I think I've got, OCD, but in reality, I just like to have things neat. Went into his room, mate, and he's got all his beauty products lined up, and I couldn't believe it. I actually thought his missus was there on tour with him. I was like, mate, that's not play on. The amount of products he had.
Who was the grumpiest?
The grumpiest?
Mako?
Aye, yeah. Mako's Mako, though, isn't he? He's like, he kept spirits high, but he loved a sappuccino every now and then as well, and I think that's what, as soon as he started sapping, I think it just encouraged boys to get their saps out as well, so it was actually quite funny at times.
Very good. Last question, Hoggy, for you before we let you go. What about Gary Owen, RFC at home? You've had the jersey on. They put out a tweet that you've signed off. Hopefully all that. The Irish AL clubs are praying that you actually haven't.
Gary Owen, correct me if I'm wrong, is a high ball, isn't it? That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't think I'll be playing for Gary Owen, man. Not for hoisting it.
Hoggy, thanks. We really, really appreciate it, and well done on the tour. And enjoy what the next few weeks holds for you.
Thanks, Matt. Take care. We'll see you.
Cheers, Hoggy boy.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Lads, that was pretty amazing. Awesome, in fact. Yeah. I might as well walk out now. There's no point in me being here. Great interview. Surely.
Well, we've been saying that for a long time, but
I know, but we do need your Ron Burgundy moments, your XB and all.
True.
But getting back to this Lions tour, no one would say it was a vintage Lions tour. I guess COVID played a big part. What were your thoughts on the general tour, really? And was it Lions' fault, South Africa? I mean, why weren't there special moments, like memories that we all remember from 2009, 97, etc.?
I think, COVID's obviously played a massive part in no crowds, and, it takes the atmosphere, because the South African fans, they add to the game, as in, they're very hostile, they're, abusive, but they're brilliant to play in front of, because, you're in a game, and every big decision that goes for them, they're going to get behind the team. And so did we get caught into a trying to play too much like them? I don't know. I think we probably did a little bit. But it's hard not to. they're so good at the sort of three things of win games these days: the defence. Well, I would say both set pieces, the scrum and the maul, and the kicking game. The fact that Lions won the kicking game the first test went a big way to, winning that test. And then it's almost like, yes, they're going to get better, but why wouldn't we carry on doing what was so successful for us in that first test, where we kicked and won and we got the scraps? Obviously we could have played more rugby against them, but also the defence doesn't let you play too much rugby.
I think we all agree, and you guys have been on Lions tours. I've just watched. I love it. I think we all think it's the best thing in the world. But was this tour a bad example? Didn't do the brand any positives, really?
I don't know if it's done the brand any harm as such. Would to the outsiders looking in, they probably say, it was unattractive, it was bad to watch, all that stuff. But internally, when you're involved with, when you're involved in the Lions at all throughout your career, you look back and you go, it was unbelievable. And I suppose when you've experienced it then, you know what the players will be like now. And they will be disappointed, obviously. But when you're there and you're in this thing, you don't see it from our perspective, from the outside in either. And you know that it's going to be an incredibly tough tour, locked in a hotel. Everything about this tour was different. Now, having said that, everything about the Six Nations and all the games over the last 2 years was different too. And we've seen some great, exciting rugby. But, it's just, you need a little bit of something. And I didn't think we had that from day one out there in terms of the way we went about our business. I thought we could have expressed ourselves a little bit more and just move them around a little bit. I do agree, Bomb. I think we did the first day try and play them at their own game, but we stayed doing that, which obviously we won the first test, so then why would you go away from it?
Exactly, yeah.
So that's what they're thinking inside the camp. Us looking outside it, we're going, after the first test, we're going, great, they've won the first test, we're in the right place now. And then the second test just doesn't go our way. We didn't win any of the aerial contests. And next minute we're going, right, what do we need now? We need to play more. So, it's all hearsay, as we've discussed over the past few weeks. But at the end of the day, I don't think it'll do the brand, you know, any harm whatsoever. Going forward, the Lions will be the Lions. It always will be. It'll be steeped in the history. It's there. Has it been a poor tour? Absolutely. But hopefully the next one's not like that.
I guess, you know, for me, you know, people have talked about, oh, there's too much win at all costs. I mean, that's rugby. There's a series on the line. Everyone cares about you win the series. And no one matters. It doesn't matter about how you play or what you don't, about winning the series. But were these two teams just under too much pressure with little preparation? Was that why the rugby was a bit flat and there was neither team were taking too many risks because they didn't have the time or preparation time?
I absolutely agree with the preparation in and around where we won all of the warm-up games. You know, if we could have had five games against a team now like Japan, where it would have tested us. I think it came so easy in those games. You know, we were dominant in everything we did against the Sharks a couple of times. You know, and all these games. It was when that South Korea came. That was the wake up call. We almost needed, you know, a couple of, you know, it's always nice to have a couple of, you know, live and easy ones to warm up in through. Yeah. You know, yeah. Or that type of game. But we needed more competitive fixtures. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And unfortunately, due to COVID and how it is at the moment everywhere, then we just didn't get in. I thought, would that, you know more about attacking play than me, but would that have given us more? I knew, obviously, but if we'd had more meaningful, you know, defences to play against, would that put more pressure on our skills? And then come the test match, we'd be able to execute these skills better.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Bon, because if you look at the 2013 even and 2017 tours, you're playing the Brumbies, you're playing the Crusaders, you're playing the Maori All Blacks with class players everywhere. And that's where you actually take your most learnings of going into test games. And that's where probably Gats and the management now didn't get to see enough of players of how they react in that pressure environment against really, really good players. Where, yeah, we were winning games over there, but were they meaningful? No. They were beating teams, whatever, 50 with 50 points, but we didn't get tested in any which way, where you would in previous matches, and you would have in a normal Springbok Lions tour, where they'd have their actual Springboks playing against you in midweek. So there was none of that this time around either. So you have to take that into consideration a little bit as well.
I will say on that, and I know in 97 it was the first time they didn't put the Springboks into the provincial games, and they didn't in 09 either. Mm. So it was almost a plan for them not to do it, so you don't kind of know, and you kind of get shocked then when the frosty and the intensity comes from them in the first test. And in 09 we found out, Christ, these boys would be locked up, and they came and, you know, they beat us up first half, certainly. But I think, I don't think the brand hasn't gone. No. Now, rugby's gone a bit weird with all the off-field stuff, with Rassi and all that. It's gone a bit strange, and it's gone a bit like, well, this isn't what we used to, but the brand will always be there. I think there was a struggle after 05 in that New Zealand tour where, you know, Sir Clive's won, where they didn't do too well, and there was all these different things coming back and stories. I think the brand was kind of like dipping, but I think the brand will always be there. And yeah, it's just, you just got to have, you know, cooperation. It's good to see Australia saying they're going to have Pacific Islanders, you know, Pacific Island teams properly in the lead up to the next tour, which is brilliant, because it's going to be harder games. It's going to be more, you know, where you can see these guys and how they react in different pressures.
So on the harder games, I mean, 2017, I think Lions lost two games, the Highlanders and the Blues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were big wake-up calls and really tested you. I think you won 12-3 against the Crusaders, you know, a tight test match game. And I think previous tours for me, going to South Africa, they didn't have their test players playing, etc. It wasn't a problem because they've got so much strength and depth. I think perhaps this year, you know, how many players in South Africa are playing in Japan, playing in England, playing in France, just to name a few places, and therefore then they had their 50 best players who were in the squad. So they weren't the best teams, and it didn't help them with that preparation. But would you change the Lions series up, if that's going to be the case going forward, would you change it up and have them play a Japan every time, a Pacific Islands team, a French team or something like that, just so those games, people would love to watch them, but they're proper games still as a warm-up, and then you go into the three-match test series?
Yeah, I think so. I think you need a certain amount of games to play. I think in 13 we went Hong Kong, and then it was kind of the first game up. But, you know, and I don't think many of the Australian boys are in the provincial teams, but I don't know, it just seemed more competitive, you know. They were a little bit deeper, the squads. You know, obviously, again, we weren't in the times we are now, so, you know, the restrictions and the illnesses and everything, you know, so, you know, that obviously plays a part. But I think if Australia are going to put the Pacific Island teams in, however they do it, whether it's going to be, like a Barbarians or like an Invitational team or like a Pacific Islands team, or, and to play the, as well as the Brumbies, the Reds, the Waratahs and these guys, then, you know, come test match, you know, it's going to be competitive. And then you can also add the games in after week one, the test matches, where, you know, you and the boys come back off tour after, like, the province, Western Province game. If you weren't picking the first test, then you're going to have 3 weeks off, basically. Yeah.
Is it responsibility of the Lions to play an entertaining game of rugby, or is it just a responsibility to win the tour?
Win the tour.
Yeah, win the tour. For a player out there, all it wants to do is win the tour.
And contractually, I have to say this, but we wouldn't see a try like your try, one of the best tries ever in the Lions, 2017, I have to contractually mention it for Sean. You know, talk us through it again, Shawnee. Who did you overtake?
After slating me earlier. I'm glad you gave me one positive anyway.
Shawnee, I will say this. You ran past three backs to get there. Yeah, really was a turbo. What noise did you make? Was it like,
Hunter,
were you?
Glory Hunter.
He wasn't running with his head up looking at the ball. He was head down, ready to plow into a rock. Ready to belly flop into a rock.
Anyway, let's not talk about that anymore. It's been brought up enough lately.
Really?
Some serious minutes on TV.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll show the video in a minute, but... So we all agree the Lions is the pinnacle and the best thing still in rugby.
Yeah, yeah. And that goes back to the other question. It's like, if you win 3-0 in the Lions season, but you win the series 2-0, then that's all that matters. And I know people want to see attractive rugby, but when it comes to Lions, and it wasn't a spectacle, and the whole thing was a bit of a weird sort of situation with everything going on, but. So wins the series accounts, and as a British and Irish player, I'd say it's the pinnacle. You know,
yeah,
neither of us have won a World Cup, so we don't know. But it's the pinnacle you can do as a player, and you just want to win the series.
I agree totally.
And as I think we'll find out from a review of Sean's book later, win or lose on the booze. Okay, then that's enough of that. Let's talk to our very smug Bock on the ground, Skulk Brits. Skulk, how are you? There it is, looking smug.
Hello, gentlemen.
how were those celebrations then?
It wasn't anything close to the winning the World Cup goodie, but it was.
You managed to get that in within a minute. Well done, Jay. And Scholar was there as well, by the way, in case you were wondering.
He has his medal around his neck there.
Yeah. He's also got a Lions winning medal as well. He just nabbed one.
Yeah.
But it must have been a bit weird in the stadium, was it? Obviously, no crowd and, yeah.
It was actually so weird, Goody. It was like, okay, the celebrations, the firecrackers going off, the boys having a couple of beers in the change room, sitting with them, and it was like, okay, fine. So what's the plan now? They said, no, we're flying to Port Elizabeth tomorrow, and then we're getting ready for the championship. And I says, what about the celebration? This only comes around every 12 years, and you're very lucky if you beat the Lions. And they say, well, there's no break in between. So it's like a great celebration, a one day of celebration, and then it's back to work. It shouldn't be like that. It should be like almost end of season, having a bit of a draw with the boys for a couple of days and then back on it.
What I gather from that is that they don't trust you anymore. They don't want to tell you any stories. You're on Channel 4. You're on this rugby pod. You're on other rugby pods. They know that the news will get out. So they just don't want to tell you a thing. So they definitely had a big night out.
No, it was... I'm only on House of Rugby goodie. No more than this. But literally, because I was still in the hot bubble, I mean, it was only the family and the teams that can actually have a couple of beers in the hotel. And it was still a hot bubble. This week, they're in a soft bubble. And then before they fly out to Australia, they're back in a hot bubble. So it's just very odd or weird times at the moment.
Scholar, what's been the reaction from South African fans generally, like over the period of the last week or so?
John, the boys has been, or the crowd and I think the general public is sort of a relief, you know, getting pumped. And the first test match, I think the second of that the Lions played was phenomenal rugby. But all in all, it's great. But it's weird if you don't have any fans at the stadium. I know a lot of people were just having a couple of beers at home But at 10 o'clock, it was curfew. So when I drove back after having a couple of beers with the boys, there was no cars on the road. People were back in bed sleeping. And I was like, come on, guys. You know, this doesn't happen often. And this, unfortunately, with these times, you can't celebrate properly.
Was it a master? I know a lot's been talked about Rassie over the last few weeks. Was it a master stroke having the families, the South African boys' families, in camp with them?
No, I think it was quite a. It was great having the families here or there in the hotel, but it's hard, as you know, with kids, it becomes quite tricky. I mean, all the wives, and they can't either go shopping. All they had to do is stay in the hotel. They couldn't even go training. With the kids, it was mentally it was very hard. The boys actually said after the test match, they said, "Yes, we need a break, a mental break from rugby, because Rassie is quite a tough taskmaster, not just Rassie, but Jock as well. And they just need a break from the game." And they couldn't have anything outside of the hotel. They couldn't play golf. They couldn't go on a wine tour. They couldn't go shopping or have a coffee outside. So that was mentally exhausting for the players. So the big question is, how can they follow this up after probably one of the most intense physical test matches or series they've played?
And on that, obviously the Rugby Championship, you've got Argentina this weekend. Where do you think South Africa are, really? Because obviously you said how intense it was and you're worried about them perhaps mentally, but where do you think they are in a playing sense?
They didn't have time to really prepare. I don't know if you guys know, the guys were training, speaking to Andy Edwards, kudos to him for getting the team in a physical condition to play, because they were training on Zoom with 20 kilogram plates while half of the team had COVID. So that was hard. And I always said during the test series, they're going to get better with time. The question is now, they couldn't prepare. They're still doing exactly what they did at the World Cup. There's no changes in pattern. There's no changes in the way they defend or attack. It's just purely a physical nutrition that they put on the pitch. For me, the sad thing about when the Lions started playing rugby, they put us under pressure. So it was weird that the kind of team they picked in the third test match, that they didn't throw, you know, the ball around a little bit more and put the South African defence under pressure.
So how, obviously the captains play a big part in that, and how, you know, on pitch, how you play, kick the corner. Where's Khaleesi going to go down now in, you know, the folklore of South African rugby? He's an iconic leader already, winning the World Cup, now Lions, you know. For me, he was a little bit quiet first test, but he kind of grew into the series. Is he just going to get bigger? You know, is he going to get better and better and more? You know, an absolute sort of, you know, the biggest icon rugby South Africa has seen, rugby wise.
I definitely think so. I mean, if you just look from the story he's got to tell, I know Frank Trapinoe's got his own story, and John Smith, and both or all three of them is legends in South African terms, not just on the sport pitch, but what they've done outside of rugby. And I think it's such an amazing story to think that a guy from the townships that was undernutritioned underfed, if I can say that, when he joined Grey PE when he was 14 on a bursary from some or other businessman that gave him opportunity, him and three other guys, to come from where he was to where he is today. That is, I mean, I'm putting it out there. There's going to be a movie made out of Sia, Khaleesi and the Springboks. I mean, to come from where he was to where he is today, and he can still achieve so much more. And I mean, I did some work with the Sia Khaleesi Foundation. It's amazing to see that he's not just a rugby player, he's someone that wants to give back to South Africa and give other people opportunities. So as a captain, yes, he was quiet, but he had COVID 2 weeks before that, and he's just going to get better as a rugby player.
I think Sculler, just for me as well, if there's a film about him, there'll probably be a film about Mornay Steyn as well. Not that Bond wants to hear that name again, but, you know, he's, what, 37, does another kick to win it. I'm sure there'll be the South Africans would love to see that film as well.
It is an unbelievable story from Mornay that was almost close to retirement, finishing with his career there in Paris. And I thought he's done. And he said, okay, I'm going to have one more go at the Bulls. Played fantastic rugby. Not being picked on the first and second test match. And then on the third, getting his opportunity and slotting it as if it's 12 years ago with ease. It was straight through the middle. So it's sort of a fairy tale for Mornay. I think all of us, I mean, he still looks almost similar to 12 years ago and he's great condition. But I mean, what a great story.
Yeah, the two of them boys have been unbelievable, in fairness, during the tour. Scholar, looking forward to the Rugby Championship. I know, like, Ian Foster came out and said that the tour was a bit boring to watch, etc. Do you think that the Springboks are going to get a lot of moving parts in terms of when they play the All Blacks, etc.? Do you reckon they're going to take a lot from that last test and see where you boys were under a bit of pressure?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, they saw that when they speed up the game, they can put us under pressure. I think we were still undercooked going into the Lions. Well, it's Rich saying that. But I think from a metric perspective, they weren't there yet. And that's why I thought, you know, Gatlin tried to beat South Africa at its own game. And we just tried to stay traditionally to what is our strength. And I thought it could have changed it up a little bit, but that's a big risk to take, I guess. Where with Argentina, especially New Zealand, they're going to shift the ball around and put us under immense pressure from a defensive perspective.
Skylar, what's next for you? Obviously a lot of networks to keep happy. Pro-Am Golf, is it? Some documentaries. What's up?
Yes. Goody, personally, I'm finishing up at Remgro. It's the company that I'm working for now, investment holding company. And moving to Southern White Capital, that's a fund. So starting 1st of September, all new kettle of fish. So I'll be in London a lot more.
Oh, fantastic. We all look forward to having you either back on the show or just meeting you in the pub, no doubt. But Scholar, thanks so much for joining us throughout the series. It's great to see you, and we wish you well.
Cheers, Scholar.
Yeah, and just lastly, I just want to say I'm sorry about the loss, guys. I'll see you in 12 years again.
Sod off. Take it easy. Cheers. Just on that, as Scholar goes, he mentioned sort of there wasn't really much celebration. What were the celebrations like a couple of days for you in 2009, 2013, 17? Just obviously, you can't tell us everything. We don't want to hear about Sean and how naked he gets, but... just, you know, did you have a couple of days? Is it quickly home? What happens generally?
In 2009, I unfortunately was flying home on the Tuesday before the third test because I got taken out by Barkies Botha, which is probably cost the test series, didn't it? Yeah, I think. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good.
Yes, you did.
We had a good few days on the beach. I thought Australia was good though. It was kind of. I enjoyed Australia. We obviously you're in Sydney, and it's, I think a few of the boys went off and did their own thing. I had about five or six mates out there, so it was, and a few Welshies were kind of milling around the place doing media. So we had a good drink out there. But yeah, it's a lot of drinking. A lot you kind of see, like what different clubs do. I grew up watching Leicester with this big tough, you know, tight five forwards, you know, bat to each other on, and then you kind of walk into the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning. You got like the Youngs brothers and like sticking cocktail sticks in their forehead, and just like making them stick. And it's just, the fuck's on here? This is so weird. But you know, Welsh like a pint. But yeah, so it was. I'd say we in 30 minutes. Yeah, we had a good drink, didn't we?
Yeah. It was three kind of days of it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah.
A few drinking games. You said the Welsh don't do drinking games too much. You just. Honest drinking, just smash it.
No, some people drink games. You just don't play this Buffalo.
Oh, okay. Scholar's Buffalo.
Just a pinky. Go pinky.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of that on both tours, I think. Yeah, definitely. There was a lot. There was a lot of shots and court sessions were pretty good, pretty awesome, pretty funny on both as well.
and talking about Australia, obviously 2025 next tour. A lot has been talked about Gats being on the next tour. It's a long way off. His record's been phenomenal. You've both been coached by him. Do you think he'll want to do the next job? Do you think it'll be offered to him, or do you think someone else should take over?
That's answering in order. Well, I think he'd do it if he was offered. I think, you know, what he's good at, I've always found him, you know, bringing a group of players, you know, together quickly, and, you know, simplifying things and, you know, going... You know, getting them in the right mental state to like take on, you know, the best in the world, and I think that's why he suits the Lions so well. You know, but he's going back to New Zealand to the Chiefs next season, and I'm sure that's for a reason. You know, there's probably a maybe something at the end of the tunnel for him. You know, he's obviously been so successful up here, so successful in international rugby. And, you know, it'd be silly if he wasn't in the conversation at some point, I guess, around the All Blacks. You know, is that what he's looking at? I don't know. But, you know, again, on the third one, is it time to move on? It was a lot of good coaches in the UK. There's a lot of good coaches out there. And, you know, I guess you're looking at Faz, some of that, who might be in the mix. But I guess it all depends on how they go over the next couple of years, the next 2 years. And then, you know, every team could have a shocker. You know, Kieran Crowley could be amazing with Italy. He might get a sniff. So I think who is going to be the next one, I don't know. But I think, you know, he does such a good job at bringing the players together in a short space of time. I think he's kind of the perfect sort of guy for it.
I mean, a lot can change in a couple of years.
Yeah, but I think they're talking about locking it down pretty soon with him, though.
Really?
Didn't something come out yesterday in the media about they're going to talk to him pretty soon about potentially doing it? So
he's 3 years in New Zealand, though, I think, isn't he? Or 2 years after that?
I guess the question is, for someone who's been so successful with Lions and so successful as a coach, how much did this hurt him, the loss, and how close it was?
Yeah, well, I know he'll take it personally, I guess. I think in 2017 he had a fair bit of stick, didn't he? With you know, he came in there wearing the clown nose.
He'll take
it personally, and you know, another 12 years is a long time to come around to play South Africa, isn't it? So if he gets a chance with the All Blacks before that, then it's going to be a bit quicker. But I wouldn't rule him out. You know, personally, if he wants to do it, he can do it. He's, you know, he's probably as successful as anyone, as successful as Geach. So, but I guess it's up to the powers that be, isn't it? And it's also up to him. As I said, I think he's gone to New Zealand. He's got, you know, something a little bit down the line there. You know, that's the dream for any All Black Kiwi fella to coach the All Blacks, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
So, Shawnee, like, just simply here, if you had to choose in the next year a Lions coach and Gats was ruled out for some reason, who would be names you would look towards?
I think definitely
hypothetically,
definitely a Faz type of person with the likes of Gregor.
Scrum coach?
Of course. Robin McBride is your assistant.
you wouldn't go further afield like a Scott Robertson from the Crusaders if he was available. It's obviously a bit of a wild one. It'd be so successful there.
Yeah,
but it'd be outside the box.
It'd be a very, very interesting mix then, because you would be, if you had someone like Scott Robertson over the actual whole setup, and you put someone like Gregor in there and a Faz, you'd be playing rugby. So that'd be usually exciting, obviously.
Even Ronan O'Gara.
Yeah.
Obviously, he'd worked together before the Crusaders, those two.
So it'd be quite an interesting dynamic.
I think it's interesting from my side because he's so adrift at the moment, obviously, in New Zealand. He's probably watching the rugby in Europe, but he's not in it every single day. So he gives a really kind of, like looking from outside of the box or whatever, outside perspective of all the players. He doesn't know anything about them. There's no hidden agendas. It's just, I want to pick the best players who I see playing that season.
Mm.
But I think, I don't know Scott Robertson from Adam, but I personally think that's why a Gats or Faz is good, because he understands, certainly Gats, he understands the Celtic boys. You know, how we are, how sort of, what makes us tick, you know, the sort of, so I think you need a kind of, you know, I'm not saying Eddie Jones will get it, but he certainly understands Northern Hemisphere rugby now. Gats does, he obviously been with Wasps, Wales for 10, 12 years, and I think he understands, I think it's harder than just like coming in from the Crusaders and kind of overseeing it, and I'm the best coach he's probably one of the best coaches in the world. He's got a fantastic team of players there. Mm. I think it's harder just to do that, but I think you need someone who kind of knows, like a Faz would understand, you know, Northern English, played in London, knows the Irish boys, knows the Welsh boys. Yeah. So I think it's someone like that. You need someone who kind of knows the personalities and the traits and, you know, the little, like the weird, how weird some of the Celtic boys can be, you know. And so I think, you know, if Gats wasn't doing it for Faz, would be the guy for me.
Oh, it's a good point, because like someone, a Kiwi coming in, wouldn't understand the way we operate in this side of the world really either. They don't even watch some of the games that we play in. They're just worried about themselves over there, and they tell you that as well. Like some people, like you look at some of the interviews they've done years ago. Some of the All Blacks, you mentioned some class players that we'd all know, internationals this side of the world, and they go, "I don't know much about them." They'd actually say that openly in the media because they're worried about themselves only. So it's the same, I presume. You know, someone like him coaching, he probably has what Gats has now in terms of a longer term plan as well in New Zealand, I presume. being so successful there, he's surely going to be in the mixer in the coming years as well. So would he want it? But would he be an exciting coach to have in the system at some point? Absolutely.
Good break dancer as well.
Well, I mean, there's always that fun. To be honest with you, I think you're missing a trick. You should just go and get my old NEC Green Rockets coach, Ryota Asana. He's an ex-school teacher, phenomenal coach. So, 1 win in 8. So, definitely put him as the head coach of the Lions. Moving on to...
Hopefully you're not going back there next couple of years.
You just probably bagged him.
Yeah. Well, he's no longer coach there either.
He's
gone from head coach to... I think he's doing some recruitment / working in the office. So.
Isn't he selling... merchandising as well, hats.
Everyone does that at the club. Actually.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
It's part of the role. You have to sell the merchandise. Right. And the head of merchandise just puts his own face on all the merchandise. Yoshi, he just puts all his own stuff on, which is fair. So before we go, guys, just a little bit of fun. Predictions for who will be captain in the next Lions tour, and can you give me 4 players who you think will be nailed on, or 3 maybe, who will be nailed on to be in that team?
I thought he's amazing this tour. Your teammate, Toji. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. I think he'll be captain. Yeah. I think this one's probably a little bit too soon for him, and I think he'll be the best lock in the world. Well, one of them with Ritalik in the next 4 years. So I think he'll be captain. 4 players.
I'll give you 3.
It's tough, isn't it? Marcus.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. You think Finn will be too old?
No.
I don't know if Finn is.
I think he's 27, is he? 28? 31, 32?
Perfect age.
I think he'd be... as mature as he's ever going to be,
is it game management? Sense, but Marcus,
yeah.
I'd like to see Ring Rose go next one. Are those hardlines not going in this one? And I'd probably say, I'll go another back. Again, Thomas Williams.
Yeah.
I think. I thought he was, again, unlucky.
Yeah, I'd go a Toji captain. I'd go James Ryan from Ireland, next one. He'd be hurting a lot from this. It'll make him better. I will say Tom Curry, obviously. He'll be there again. Marcus Smith, definitely. And I'd agree with you. Wales scrum half.
How old is Henshaw?
Robbie's 28 or 9, is he?
It'd be hard as a centre. I say Curry, definitely. I think him and Watson will be fine out, but I think Curry will definitely be there.
Yeah.
Toji, I think, will be captain. Arrow.
There's a couple of really good backs, isn't there? Like young backs over here now as well.
And I'd say just if he keeps developing the way he's going, Reece Amett. I think young man.
Yeah.
He's someone I think could really be phenomenal. So.
How old's Tiger in 4 years?
Tiger's 27 now, is he?
He'll go then.
He'll probably be still on test. Brilliant.
Yeah.
All the good tight ends play 32 Lions tests.
100%.
Yeah. And Shawnee, News in Ireland, Rob Carney's gone and played GAA.
Yeah, Rob has gone back to play Gaelic football with the Cooley Kickhams.
That's a good name, that. Isn't it? Say it again.
Cooley Kickhams.
Are they a good side?
By all accounts, I think they're pretty decent. Yeah. I think there's, obviously, in Loud, where Rob is from, GAA is massive back there. Like it's massive everywhere in Ireland, but to have someone like him going back to his club now and giving something back will be huge for the area around him, because we always give him abuse for not doing anything for anyone in his own area. So now he's going back to play Gaelic football.
You're like, oh, finally.
But I think it's something that, to be fair, every rugby player in Ireland, if they had GAA roots, we would obviously love if your body would allow to go back and play with your club, because the community and what it means to play for your club is massive at home. So
will you go back?
Oh yeah, I'll go back. If I'm still able to move properly at that stage. And not,
surely as a goalie. Only a goalie, right?
A goalie.
I've seen you try and kick a ball, mate.
I'm playing full back. Full forward.
You can't run and you can't kick. Surely they're too big.
Either end of the pitch, for sure. But
I can imagine you hurling. With the sticks.
Yeah. No,
I can imagine you doing
I'm
that.
A better footballer.
That's coordination though, again.
Better footballer.
Are you a better footballer?
Yeah. Hurling.
I don't believe that, again.
Not on the slide.
I can see you being the Michelin man in goal. That's all I can see.
like in hockey. Wasn't
you? You know that's not true. But I think it's class, going back to Rob playing. I think it's class for him, first of all, but it'll be class for the area, and it'll give the club a huge boost having someone like him back training with them and playing a few games. So that's what we all aspire to. Where we started out as in our young careers as 8 or 9 year olds, mostly in Ireland, is the GAA. and then developed into rugby. So it's great to go back and finish off there if that's what he's doing.
I think, fair play to him. I think he'll be very good at it, and I'm really happy to see...
He's a class footballer.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy to see you being positive about him, because off air you always bitch about how he sold more copies of his autobiography than you and you're quite upset about it, so...
That's untrue too.
Well, you both...
Rob, me and Rob have a very healthy relationship when it comes to selling books.
It's funny, because you've
just
asked...
Just on that, how many stars on Amazon have you got?
I think I've five.
Oh, that's absolutely... shit. Also, yeah. No, what I was going to say, but that is a joke, mate. Honestly,
you don't worry about it, because you will never be writing a book.
No, I won't be, mate. Don't worry about that.
You've never checked your stars on Amazon.
It's funny you mentioned the Amazon review. We've got this book up here, Fuel. Yeah, Sean, it's a good title. Hell of a picture. There is one review I'd like to go through. G Melrose gives you 2 stars. I'm a great fan of Sean O'Brien.
First cousin of yours, I betcha. You've put him up to this.
Melrose, come on, pal. I'm a great fan of Sean O'Brien and have been looking forward to this.
Thanks, G.
However, it was nowhere near the standard of other rugby autobiographies I'd read recently. No great insights, no funny stories, but compared to other international rugby players, Sam Warburton, Paul O'Connell, Roy Best, Adam Jones,
sorry about that.
Not even making it up, Brian O'Driscoll, to name a few I've listened to and read, it was not very interesting. I came away with the impression that he cared too much about being a hard man and over-celebrating the good times rather than being a professional athlete seriously. By the time he learned how to look after his body, it was already knackered.
Jesus. That is a tough review.
He's gone
for a hard man.
He's really gone.
Struggling with a hard
man.
Over celebrating.
Will you screenshot that and just send
Do you want me to verify him? Get his address, maybe?
Nah, he's all right.
I like the bit.
That's harsh. That
hurt me a little bit now, to be fair.
By the time he learned how to look after his body, it was already knackered.
All right, good. That's brutal.
I tell you what, this is why I would never even get close to a book. Only because my mum would read it, but no one else.
Still, please.
Wow. Well. We're off to have our big house of rugby party, which Shawnee's going to be crying.
I'm heading home. Yeah.
He's going to go stalk this G Melrose, I think. Cheers, Bomb. Cheers, Shawnee. We'll get around you. We'll give you a hug. Well, that's all we've got time for on this week's House of Rugby. Thanks for watching or listening. Cheers. Just cheers.
House of Rugby Ireland, here on Joe. Game changed.